You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening.
I took a deep breath, looked for a final time at those comforting tyres, pushed off and, to my amazement, actually went somewhere. I was awkward. I was ungainly. I hadn't gone more than 3 or 4 feet. But by God, I felt the balance, and that was enough. I did it. It's Ken Turin, learning how to ride a bicycle at age 46. Well done, Ken. Sorry.
But we don't know where we've been, and we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen.
Work it out. You're listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on 3CR, podcasting, streaming, or listening on that old transistor in the kitchen. Hey, listen, happy birthday to democracy now. I think that's 30 years. That's not a bad party. Couple of your musical mates dropped in for a show. Many thanks. I mean, we can sometimes wonder in awe at Amy Godden's ability to get more words in the 10 seconds than anything else. And has anybody have seen Amy Goodman chasing, I think he was a mayoral candidate for New York a couple of elections ago, Mr. Bloomberg. And it was quite funny, actually. I mean, he's not a young sprite, Mr. Bloomberg, but he tried to run away down the street. And guess who was chasing him? With a microphone. Amy Goodman. So, obviously, very happy birthday to Democracy Now! Great that 3CR has it on the rotation here. So, many thanks. Hey, listen, we've got a bit of a show today. We're going to a little bit of news, a little bit of bike moments, but we're going to talk about that great connection between music and riding a bike. One something that, if you understand the beat of a heartbeat, the cadence of the pedals, it really does match like with like. Faith, good morning.
Good morning, Val.
And Curtis, good morning to you.
Good morning.
There we go. First time on the show, Curtis?
First time.
There we go. Won't be the last time, I'm telling you. Wait another 10 years because you'll be back. I'm just saying, I think Bike Rave, we should start it. Curtis, I asked you before the show, started 13 years ago.
13 years ago, yeah.
And still rocking along strongly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely great.
Good to see.
Yeah. Some things last. Some things have their time in the sun and then disappear. Oh, Faith, I'm going to share you my seasonal bike moment. I know, I mean, we're blessed sometimes in Melbourne. We have that two-week period where the seasons swing. But sometimes you get woken up in one day. I have to ride home on Thursday, late Thursday afternoon. And the change from shorts and T-shirts into freezing cold gloves. Oh, I got so wet on the way home. It was a real, you know, you can skate through sometimes. Oh, I won't take a raincoat. Yeah. It'll be all right. Bajingos. It was very funny.
It was unusual for autumn. Like, it was much more like spring last week with wind and rain, whereas autumn's usually that very constant, settled weather. So, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, but always fun. As long as you're riding home to a warm shower, it makes a difference. Yeah. Curtis, you got something to share with us?
Yeah. I'm going to talk a bit about Bike Rave. We've got one coming up in May 2nd.
No, Bike Moment.
Oh, a Bike Moment. My mistake. Yeah. Sorry,
I missed that. The rest of the show is promoting Bike Rave.
Oh, yeah. Well,
something about you.
Something about me. Well, you asked before about a Bike Moment, I thought of one recently, which I ride a bit of a fancy pants roadie. Now, don't judge me too fast.
No, but
the other day, as I do, I'm on my way to the pub. You know, it was a beautiful cracker of a day. And it was a stinking hot one too. So, you know, nothing was going to cut it. I had the shorts, the singlet, the thongs. And then I jump on this tarmac, this specialized tarmac, and I'm riding on my way to the pub, and I stop at the lights, and who should pull up next to me but like a peloton, like a full, the whole roadie
the
gang's there, and they're all giving me the eye, looking up and down, as, did you steal that?
Yeah.
Like, you've got the cleats on the thongs, what's happening there?
You'll end up on one of those Facebook posts where someone goes, this guy looks sus.
He's I promise it's mine. The POC helmet gives it away, surely.
Well, it probably does,
It's a commitment, though, right? You need a pub bike.
I think it might be time.
God, I could just imagine it.
A lot of odd looks.
Faith, what about you?
Oh, my bike moment's not that exciting, but it was same as last week. I was in the city, and often if I have to go into the city, it's a bit too close to ride. Like, I just walk in. And Thursday night I ended up, because of that downpour, waiting for a tram out of the city and just watching at the tram stop on Swanson Street all the riders come past in this torrential rain and thinking, but just one of those moments where, you know, usually you regret not having ridden in. But I was really, really happy that,
Just compounds it. I had a plastic bag on my saddle, but the wind blew it off. So I came out saddle sopping wet.
Wet from both.
Sort of like being prepared 50%, you know, but not committing to it.
There's a point at which there's no preparation.
Nothing could have prepared you for that kind of rain, though. Yeah. That was really something.
Yeah. All righty, we should move on. Look, we're just going to have a little bit of a discussion about, as most people know, the state government here has made public transport completely free for the next month. And Faith and I, we were talking about it beforehand. And look, I'm sort of starting to wonder whether this is a big carrot for people to ditch the car for a while. I must preference this by saying the people who've moved into the outer suburban rings whose suburbs are just designed for cars and virtually have no public transport will be stuck in their cars. But look, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think, one of the points people raise about free public transport is it benefits the people who already have the most access to public transport.
Mm. Yeah.
And in Melbourne, that's the very inner suburbs and the inner east.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, there's entire suburbs where it's still a 15-minute drive to the nearest public transport. And then there's, you know, if you look at the north along the upfield or out west, there just isn't the frequency. Like, they're already, you know, in peak hour on the upfield, it's every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they often get shorted and don't run. So it's going to benefit a very small part of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we know bikes are the great thing that works together with public transport. They bring public transport that's too far away, they make it accessible. So, you know, you can ride to the station a distance that might be too far to walk. But again, that only works if there's a route you're going to feel safe enough to use. And if you're in one of those satellite suburbs where the only way to get to the station is on the Hume or something, that's not going to be the case. So, yeah, I think it's a fairly limited...
Yeah. And, I mean, look, I think in a lot... I mean, it's a complete political act in a lot of ways. It's actually... I'm being seen to be doing something about this, and something that which, you know, I can tie in a side benefit for it.
Maybe it should be like COVID, where we need some really quick pop-ups for bike lanes. Take a lane of car traffic and put some, like Heidelberg Road was done, put some quick barriers down and make those train stations that are harder for people to get to without a car.
Yeah.
Because if you still have to drive to the station, okay, you might use less petrol than if you were driving all the way to work, but the congestion and the car parking are still issues.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if we had some of those quick pop-up bike lanes and suddenly made it safer for a lot of people to get to that station by bike.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's actually going to make an impact in terms of numbers of those taking public transport, or is this more going to benefit those that are already sort of doing it?
Yeah. I mean, how much of that public transport still has capacity? Like, and that's what I mean by the upfield and that. Can you get more people on those trains? I think the West has a similar issue. Maybe, I think outside of peak hour, could.
Yeah.
But if you're able to be flexible with your travel times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, yeah.
We've never built infrastructure with headroom at the top.
That's true.
We just don't do it. Yeah. So the train system and the public service system, transport system at the moment, is built to fit the numbers of people that were taking it last week. You know, it's a two-edged sword, obviously. The other thing I think it does, Curtis, is that actually it places insecurity in people's minds about the future.
Okay.
And that, I think that is the thing that might drive a different decision in the long term. Is that idea that you are never sure that you will have that supply. I mean, I bet you can't buy an electric car at the moment. You know, that people will are flocking to them straight away. Because as soon as you introduce that little bit of insecurity about the whole thing, you actually, that's, I think, the long-term thing. This might give people a taste for it, but I'm struggling to imagine, as Faith is talking, in those catchment groups that we know, I think most people who find public transport efficient and good are already on it anyway. But if you get a new group of people to come in and you capture 10% of those people who keep committed to it, it's probably going to be a win.
It could just be the promo about it, and, you know, seeing it around might just be enough to give someone, oh, you know, I've been meaning to give it a try. Let's do this for work today.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely impact, like, the students that are already doing it every day in terms of their pocket.
I mean, yes,
that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but they've already got a free train.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm benching. I've still got, you know, they don't charge me much. Hey, listen, the important thing about this is an ongoing experiment, and we can just watch what happens. You don't have to judge anything. You just watch to see what happens, which is great. Now, listen, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be talking about something that actually should rock all our boats.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride to school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show. We have today in the studio Curtis Hatton from Melbourne Bike Rave.
G'day.
Here to tell us all about this year's event. And also maybe it's been a few years since we've had anyone from Bike Rave in the studio. So for new listeners, maybe fill us in on Bike Rave, what it is, where it came from, and...
Yeah. Well, it's, as you said, it's been around 13 years now. I think it initially started with just a bunch of mates, about 30 people or so, riding through Fitzroy. And it's just really blown up since, which is great. We love to see it. But since then, you know, we've now got numbers and hundreds, and it's just a wonderful, fun time in general. So what I want to talk about, of course, today is the ones coming up. May 2nd is what we're looking at. It's sort of an afternoon, like 3 o'clock until 8 p.m. sort of thing, meeting down at Birrong Ma. And, just a good old time.
And it's got all the elements you'd expect at a rave. There's going to be really good music.
There will be very good music. We've got 4 great DJs that are going to be doing their sets there, which are sort of pre-recorded. And then we, on the day, everyone gets like a link and presses play at once. It sounds like it'll be a mess, but it always works somehow.
And so the ride, you have a starting point and then you actually move, like it's a moving rave.
Correct. It's like a disco on wheels way. So everyone meets at the Birrong Ma, as I said, and then they sort of have a few stops along the way. It's roughly about 10Ks in total over, 4 or 5 hours. So
it's the dancing that matters.
Look, honestly, the pace of which is, it's like there's no racing, which is, you know, a good thing, especially in a congested area like the city. It's almost walking pace. I have walked bits of it, to be honest with you. What a great time.
And the dress code.
Yes. Well, I mean, look, everyone can wear what you want, but in history we've done big themes. This theme, of course, is Diva Disco, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm expecting to see some pretty outlandish looks, and generally people sort of do up their bikes as well. We've seen in the past, we've seen tinsel, we've seen lead strips, and someone brought a mini smoke machine at one point.
Because it will get dark, so you can have your lights on your bike, maybe synchronized to the music. Or
I wouldn't be surprised. The things I've seen over the years.
We had a critical mass with a light theme, and there are lots of bikes with those LED strips wrapped around them. Another chance to get those out of the cupboard and give them another life at a new event.
It's interesting to watch the evolution of music on bikes. So I'm going to go back a fair while. One of the originators of Critical Mass actually first came up with the idea, so we then hand-built a couple of ones. So an old car ramp.
Okay.
So you built two boxes, and Jeff Brown, I've got to give Jeff credit for it because he came up with this original design, a car ramp, a motorcycle battery, and two speakers, two drivers in two little boxes either side of the thing. And then obviously there was no Wi-Fi then, so it was all wired then from either an iPod. iPod to it, and actually from that time there's slowly been a generational change as it goes along. I remember the system that I used to have, and I mean it probably weighed about 28 kilos or something. they're not light at all, that.
Yeah,
but it was you could really pump out some music. But then the cargo bike comes along. And they were still roughly the same sort of system, batteries, source, bigger speakers and bigger drivers. The funny thing is now I've got one of those little portable...
like a Bluetooth.
Punched on to an old Samsung phone, that, you know, the tiny little ones you hold in your hand, have got a great capacity for memory. And you know what? I'm nearly producing the same sound as I used to produce, hardly using any power whatsoever. So just the evolution of, you know, the mechanics of making it work. Now we're talking about one DJ, one soundtrack shared between 3, 4, or 5 other people. It just gives a completely different dimension to it at all.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to see rave culture has sort of adapted over the years as well. As an old school raver rat myself, let's just say, you know, it used to be very much underground community, in person focused. Not that it isn't anymore, but people growing up on the internet and social media, and of course, lockdown.
Yeah,
there's things with people doing virtual raves, like they're in their home, you know, watching online or whatever, and they're all part of this community. So, yeah, things are changing. But I think the spirit is the same.
Yeah.
We like to boogie.
Dean, this is because you're mobile, this gives it an outward looking feature, which it's interesting the way music works. You know as well as I do, you ride down one of those streets and a certain track comes on, half the people on the footpath are starting to dance as
Absolutely.
Well. That is the biggest thing of all time. I rode up Swan Street midnight on a Friday night a month ago or so, and John Paul Young's Lovers in the Air came on my music system. I mean, Swan Street's just awash with highly altered consciousness states of people. I've never seen more people get up and start to move as I slowly run. And the thing about the rave thing, it actually reaches out because you're moving along.
Absolutely, especially if it's a, you know, that sort of time period on a Saturday, people will be out and about.
Yeah,
and it's not this over there in a warehouse, no one knows what's going on.
No, it's you know, quite the opposite, isn't it? It's bringing everyone
out
in.
And as you move around, you're getting more and more exposed to more and more people. It's really outward looking.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, some, especially sort of the underground raves, they can be a little gatekeepy in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is so much more community focused, shall we say.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a family friendly sort of event, so anybody can come down, any fitness level. It's very about the people.
Yeah.
Just have a boogie. Get moving on the bike.
Yeah. No, it's another of those great events that does that from, you know, like I think Melbourne Roubaix is another one that often people have music with them, but that thing where you're moving through the suburbs and people on the footpath and are going, what's going on? What's getting, you know, where's this? And this having the focus on the music just takes that to another level.
Absolutely. And of course, the aesthetics of it all.
Yeah.
With that theme of deluxe disco, you know, you're going to see some big hair, I'm sure. but imagine yourself, maybe you're not part of the bike community or maybe you don't know about the event, you're having a little wander on a Saturday. And you see this group of hundreds of people with their ridiculous afros and who knows what, and people are playing out some disco, some funk. You're going to want to join in.
Surely.
Yeah.
So, and if someone listening wants to find out more about it, is there a website or an Instagram account they should have a look at?
Absolutely. We've got both Facebook and Instagram, you know, depending on your demograph. Melbourne Bike Rave, a Bike Rave Melbourne, specifically in that order, is the one. All the info is going to be there. We've got a lot of really cool stuff to announce, more detail-oriented stuff, which we'll be, you know, doing here and there over the coming month. And, getting people excited.
Start working on your costume.
Absolutely. I've already had members of the bike community in general, knowing that I'm part of it now, message me saying, oh, what's the details? What are we doing?
Well, I've bought a disco ball helmet for the last Roubaix.
Oh, so fantastic.
I can get that back out of the wardrobe.
Couldn't be it more was perfect.
Very warm and heavy. It was perfect for a June event. But May will probably not be too dissimilar. It's brilliant if it rains. Nothing is getting through this thing.
Curtis, you're not the DJ.
I am a DJ.
You are the DJ.
I will. Well, so this is four of us all together.
Yep.
And I really should mention them because they are really spectacular. We've got Julius Miles, who's fantastic. They do a bit of vinyl, sort of soul, house disco, that kind of thing. We've got Tentendo, who again is quite soulful, but probably more on that chiller side of tech house and I should say they are ARIA nominated. They're very, very good. Yeah. I've really worked my contacts for this list. We've got Max Glide, who's, again, very groove-led, sort of deep tech house stuff, getting us a bit more warm.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. And they've, you know, played BTV and stuff. They know what's going on. And then I'm going to take those ravers to the little bit of a next level, because the sort of stuff that I do is a little bit more hard housey. I've been booked for Pitch and things
like that. So a big finish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go too crazy because that's not the exact vibe, but we'll lift the spirits.
And will they be there or they're just providing the sound?
We shall see. Uh-huh. I am in chats with all of them and I'm hoping them to come down and see it in person. And I believe that most of them at least will be there.
Cool.
Because
we need a bit of that DJ like action. Getting everyone going, like not, you know.
Well, I think if you're already on the bike, you've probably got enough things you're focused on.
Yeah.
Look, I was going to ask a couple of questions. I mean, I've never been a DJ, but I spent a long time putting together a playlist for Critical Mass. So, and I sort of based it on a couple of things. You know, you had something a little bit slowing down, then a couple of bangers come on, then you bring it down a little bit, and you take it up a bit. Funny things I've discovered, you can have a song or you can have a beat that's just a little bit too quick or a little bit too slow.
Yep.
And it really, it doesn't translate into riding a bike, which can be really quite funny. The other thing I've found is playing, I mean, without letting to get technical or anything, you can ride a bike to 3/4 time. That doesn't have to be 2/4 time all the time, which is most of disco and, you know,
almost
neo soul,
all
that is. But actually, 3/4, or what mostly people call a waltz or oompa-pa, actually is suitable for a bike. And it's really hard to find nice 3/4 music that fits into it.
Yeah, well, I imagine that must come down to general cadence. It would have to be
the right
BPM.
Yeah. Well, there's always an unheard bass in a 3/4 time, especially waltz. There is a backbeat to it. It might be faint in some, but you can pick it up somewhere. And the other thing is that little break, you know, between the two. I mean, I might play a bit of cumbia followed by another, you know, bunga or something like that. But then you need to bring it down a peg just to glide back into something. Yeah. I'm picky on a rave. You don't. You just turn the temperature up and you keep going.
More or less. I mean, like you said, there is ebbs and flows and you've got to conduct the energy up and down, right? Faster doesn't always mean more energy.
Yeah.
And sometimes the thing that gets people most is just like a good old soul vocal.
Yeah.
Finally, like, you know, when you hear that song, it's not particularly fast, but boy, does it get everyone excited.
Yeah.
There's
that emotional connection and... Yeah.
And without going into, you know, which songs touch which, you know, generations or people. But there's obviously, you know, there's a real skill to actually keeping people engaged in it.
Especially these days. It's harder than ever. I think that's the beautiful thing I am noticing about the younger generations is they're quite open to older music as well as the new school. And if you come down and you hear all of these sets, all of them have a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new and seamlessly cohesive together, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so get out the Donna Summer stuff.
Absolutely.
I'll get my Bee Gees wigs out.
Yep.
Some lyrics, flares.
The city hairdos.
Flares. Absolutely. Flares. Bring it back. Bring it back.
And May the 2nd.
May the 2nd, Birrong Ma, 3 p.m.
Do you need to register?
If you could register, it does help us out on Facebook or Instagram, but it is absolutely free. All ages are welcome. Everyone is welcome in the space. And it is, 3 p.m. is sort of the meet-up time, and we'll head out around 4.
Yeah.
And that's, the Saturday, May 2nd.
Awesome.
And if you've got a little rabbit ears or one of those little boxes are cool, bring it along because actually surround it doesn't. You don't have to be a big sound system.
No.
You've just got something that you sit on the desk.
And
bring it along.
You will see it all. You'll see the tiny little pocket ones and then some wild things on cargo bikes.
Speaking of wild things, Coming up next is Lost in Science, actually, which is good. So they're coming up next. We'll be back after Easter.
We'll be back in a fortnight. Chris will be back next week. Yep. That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for coming into the studio, Curtis.
Thanks for having me.
And, yeah, looking forward to seeing everyone at Melbourne Bike Rave.
See you there. Get on to it.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.